history with the podcast guy, Matt King.
Hey, everybody. Thank you for listening to our podcast.
Unfortunately, for some, our topics that we talk about may be offensive to some people.
The topics that we discuss could also be triggers, and we want you to be aware of that.
If you are in need of help, please talk to a professional, a family member,
or a friend. We are not medical professionals, and we don't claim to be.
We are just two guys with a microphone
and a platform.
Please listen with discretion.
Welcome to This Time in History, guys. I'm Matthew, and I'm here again with another interview covering the 2022 municipal election. Remember that election day is October 24th and advanced polling is October 7th to the 14th. With me today is Mr. Anthony Internicola. I apologize. He's running for City Council, Ward 22, Scarborough Agent Court. Welcome to the show, Anthony.
Thank you for having me.
You know, you're one of the first ones that that I contacted when I first started in May. I'm so happy that we were able to finally narrow down a date and do this interview. I'm excited to talk about Scarborough. I think Scarborough is it's forgotten. It's like the redheaded stepchild of the city of Toronto, unfortunately. And we need more representation. We need better representation for the people of Scarborough. They deserve better. Wouldn't you agree?
I totally agree. People do deserve better leadership. Having me at city council is, I will let everybody else having their voice back, get to speak on the platform, and their vision is very important. And my slogan is our vision, our voice, right? So I know other city councils, they get hired and they forget about the people. And I'm just a regular individual. I'm not a lawyer, not a doctor. I'm not an insurance guy. I'm not a real estate. I'm just like you, like a regular individual that wants to stand up for everybody else, especially in mental health.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. Why don't we start off with me asking you, because I ask this to everyone that I interview, why don't you engage with the listeners and answer the questions? Why are you running? Why this election and why now?
Well, I ran before in 2014 because I was sick and tired of broken promises. And then I tried again in 2018. My neighbors in Scarborough North, Ward 23, because Scarborough Agent Court had two big incumbents, Norm Kelly and Jim Karajanis, and I really found it difficult to run against them. Then I decided to run again now, and we have Nick Mendes that's failing to be the leader of the people. There are a lot of mistakes that he's done, and it's time for new leadership to be brought forward. But the difference is, like I said previous, when I become city council, my whole community are leaders.
Right. Well, that's a good answer. I like that one. And why don't you start off by maybe explaining any pieces that you want to about your platform? And then if you've started your community engagement or your door knocking, what kinds of things are you hearing from the people you're talking to in Ward 22?
The most of the things I hear is gun violence, gangs. That's what I hear. Mental health is one of my key points that on my platform. So like the most of the things, because all we hear is fire trucks, ambulance, police officers, shootings. That's most, like rent is too high. It's unbalanced. I'm just going through my platform right now. The TTC subway, the Shepherd subway. I think they're doing the biggest mistake on their plan, such as they started to build it. Why build it? Why finish it at McAllen if they can just bring it forward to Port Union? And Pickering could add on, but on the way to Port Union, Metro Zoo will have a stop. It would just be a better commute for everybody else. I don't want to stop the project. I want to replan the project once I'm elected with that. But before we go anywhere else with life, ever since COVID, people have been struggling to get out of their house, rich or poor. So we need to deal with mental health as soon as possible. I have plans, and it's called Project Reborn. So if you want to hear about it, it's up to you.
I'd love to.
Okay. So one of the things about Project Reborn is Circle Up. I would like to see all communities get together. So you cannot be with a friend, it cannot be with a family member. You got to circle up with strangers. Every community, it would be free, of course. You just have to get together, go to the parks, circle up, let out your emotions. So I call it like you're stuck in the sinkhole with your life. When you're stuck in the sinkhole, your emotions are dropping down, and you just don't know how to get out to the next level of life. So doing a circle up and understanding and expressing your emotions and venting all your emotions to people that won't judge you at that moment, and they will just listen. And then other people will be relating and talking. So that's one of the parts of my circle ups of Project Reborn. Also, Project Reborn will be about the homeless people, especially at Delta Hotel. I don't agree how they're handling it, giving out more free drugs. I just don't agree with giving that. You're just not fixing the Band-Aid, all right? They need help, and we need to help them. We need to stand up strong and help them. They are people just like us, like me and you, but they are honestly suffering with trauma, post-traumatic stress disorder, all sorts of stuff. And all they need is love and boot camp. You just can't give something for free without working for it. So, yeah, I want to give them room and board, but they need to start owning up and understanding they want change. Once they realize they want change, we can help them. You can't just counsel them and just listen to them and say, okay, all right, let me give you free drugs, free clean needles, let's shoot up. All right. And they're back on the streets, panhandling, asking for more money. It's like a rotation that never changes. Why isn't the government doing anything about it? And it just disgusts me. Also, I'm part of a big institution, victims with sexual abuse. So there are a lot of men and women that have been sexual abused when they're children. And they're just coming out of it now. Also, there is a lot of people getting sexual abuse at this moment, even since COVID. During COVID, there was a lot, and the police are not advertising it, but the statistics show the numbers are growing and growing and growing. We need to do something about it. There is one institution that I support very much. It's called the Gatehouse. It's located downtown Toronto. The government needs to stand up and support them even better and open more locations so we can start helping victims that are suffering with trauma, sexual abuse, and all that. So people tell me, why is mental health part of your platform? It's an Ontario policy. But for us to get programs in Toronto, it has to go through City Council. So through City Council, we need I, as an advocate, once I'm elected, I will advocate, I will make sure, and I won't sleep till we get funding so we could help up with trauma, as soon as possible. Yeah, there are a lot of other programs that we're giving, but they're not as strong. They're not as
helpful.
Sorry.
I understand completely. You know, someone who's dealt with mental health struggles, my own. There's not enough help. Not only could we use more, we're severely underfunded, and I believe there's a lack of care, especially in places in suburbs like Etobicoke and like Scarborough. I think the bulk of the programs are in downtown Toronto, but there's still issues in downtown as well.
Yes, it's all over Toronto, all over Ontario, to be honest, all over Canada. So we need to do something about it. And yeah, there are people said, why should we fund that? We're broke, right? And so I tell them, well, if you could afford it, you pay for it. All right. So it'll be a good plan we need to set up together. Like, it's not just me. I need a team behind my back once I'm elected. And we need to advocate together because things are done together, not alone. So as soon as possible, once I'm elected, I'm going to attack mental health, because to get to the next level, dealing with infrastructures, dealing with houses, dealing with the future, we need to deal with mental health.
Bottom line. I couldn't agree more. I think you've hit on a strong point. I really, really believe that. Moving along, though, we are, you know, there are topics that that I'd like to cover. I'd like to get your opinion on. I'd like to start with the budget, if you don't mind. You know, it's not a secret. I've been told by candidates, by other people who I'm not going to name, but, you know, it's no secret. It's not like a secret. Toronto's bleeding money, especially coming out of the pandemic, or, you know, we think we're coming out of the pandemic, but the point is that we're bleeding money. And, you know, I don't have to tell you. I mean, we've got a $1.6 billion backlog in TCHC repairs. You know, the TTC is going to be $500 million short on funding, according to their own numbers, not my numbers. And, you know, Mr. CEO gets a 21% increase. And I'm sure I've got tons of other examples I can use, but those are the ones I like to focus on. And I'm just wondering, in terms of the budget, what you see for the next 4 years, what you'd like to see happen, and maybe what you'd push for. And you go ahead.
Well, I'm not going to make a promise that we're going to lower taxes. I'm not going to make a promise that we're going to higher taxes. Okay. We need to face reality with the market that we're in right now. All right. Everything's up and everything needs to get balanced. So if the tax do get raised, that means things are going to work out. Mm-hmm. All right. But we can't hire them too much because it's going to create a lot of probably to create a recession completely. So when it comes to the question that you asked, all I can do is we could work together and make things happen. And there's a lot of candidates out there, and not just in this ward, are promising broken promises. And legitimately, you can't just tell people that I'm going to lower your taxes, right? Guaranteed if I'm elected, because that's false information. There are candidates also saying, oh, if I win, I am not going to take my first pay. All right. That's false information. I've seen mayors and other candidates made that promise and they keep their first pay. All right. It's got to be legitimately truthful to the people. The people are the voters. They elect us to make this job happen for the next 4 years, make things happen. All city councils are advocates for the people, the people's voice. And we need 25 councillors. Well, between 25 councillors, you need about 16 to get approved about that, to let any projects go, such as lowering down taxes, up taxes, building subway, all right? So people need to agree with everything, right? So I can't answer your question completely with facts, because once I'm elected, I could tell you things, because there's hidden secrets. They let us know about the numbers and everything, but I completely will tell you the truth. I don't think Toronto's broke.
Really?
Yeah, that's my opinion. They keep on building. They keep on doing, giving the chief of police. Like, I support the police completely, but why should the chief of police get more than the police officers? Like, the police are out there risking their lives for us every single day. And, you know, some of them get shot. And they're making lower than the chief of police. The chief of police sits in his office. Like, I don't know. When it comes to the firemen, we need to support them too. Ambulance, all that. Sorry, well, I guess.
No, it's all good. You know what? It
talk about crooked government, and people do tell me, oh, once you're in your government too, you're going to get fished in and all that, right? That's not going to happen. And I can tell you, I can look in everybody's eyes at this very moment. I'm going to tell you that I'm a candidate, and I will be your city council, and I will stand up for your vision and your voice 100%.
That's amazing. I like the sound of that. You know, you skipped ahead to talking about police, so let's do that. I'd love to hear your opinion on the crime rate in Toronto, what we can do that's better, and, you know, what's your opinion of, I guess, your opinion of the job the police have done in the city?
The police have been doing a fantastic job, like I said, but they're risking their lives every single day. Too many gangs, too many shootings. I joined the Twitter app, the police officers, and in certain areas in Toronto, I almost covered the whole entire thing, and there's shootings and crimes. Hey, and I tell you, my logistically reason, I'm thinking that when we put everybody that's in housing together in one space, we're looking for gangs. That's what's generating gangs. So we need to separate the non-profitable housing, and we need to separate them. They were trying to do that years ago and it didn't pass. I think they should have done it in Regent Park. They did it. And I think that's going to be very successful when the project is done there. So if you separate people, so if I was a person that's in welfare and I needed housing, so, and I live at an area that's people are working class people, it makes me want to go work. Now, if I lived in an area that nobody was working and everybody's just hanging around, smoking weed, doing drugs every single day, I would get in that lifestyle, guaranteed. And, you know, gangs will start. So I want to bring back that motion that we need to make, we need to separate everybody, right? Instead of putting everybody that's not working together. We're just, how's that word? Sorry, with my English. There's a word I'm looking for. We just put everybody in one area. Bottom line. Mm-hmm. Sorry. My brain just got emotional. I talk about this stuff because I want to fight. I want to fight for the people. And I'm ready to fight.
That's amazing. And you know what? I like the sound of that. It's no secret. Crime rate is high. It's always been high in Toronto, unfortunately. I'll tell you a quick little story. I used to live in the former Ward 6, which is now Ward 3, Etobicoke Lakeshore. And one of the reasons that we moved away, the last 4 or 5 years that we lived there, you know, it was really, it got, the violence was, it got worse the last 4 or 5 years that it was there, progressively worse, you know, everything from, we had a neighbor that got shot in broad daylight, just walk into the store. There would be drug dealing happening at the basketball court across the street, and that turned into shooting. One time the shooting started, I thought my son was in the park. It turns out he wasn't, but we didn't know that at the time. And that was kind of the straw that broke the camel's back. We left actually not long after that. So, I mean, we don't live in Ward 3 anymore. I'm not afraid to tell you that's a place on heavy crime. And I got to be honest with you, I think the police are doing a great job. However, I'm willing to sit here right here and now and call out all the officers at 22 Division, because I don't think that division is performing at its best. We're talking about a neighborhood full of, I mean, I hate to call them gangsters or gangbangers or whatever you want to call them, hoodlums. I don't like labels like that, but I don't know what else to call them. And they used to play a game. So on weekends where you had a holiday, one or two of the nights, they would buy fireworks and they would literally play a war game style game, shooting fireworks at each other, shooting them at TTC buses, at random cars, at people that are just walking by. And they're even brazen enough to shoot them at police cars, and the police are not doing anything about it. That's why it continues to happen every holiday weekend. So as a whole, I think the police are doing a good job, but 22 Division needs to pull up their socks. That's just my two cents.
Wow. I've heard of something like that, because I'm a part of the Twitter, and I'm part of neighborhood officers in Scarborough, aging court. And that saddens me, that's going on there at Ward 3. What is the city council doing? Anything about it?
Nope.
See, that's the problem. We elect people that aren't strong enough to take the challenge.
Or they get comfortable.
Yeah, they get comfortable in their seat. They're making the money. And, you know, okay, I'll let this pass. No, it doesn't work that way. We need to fight. And I'll keep repeating, we need to fight in a way, not physically, right? We need to get things done. We need to make our city safe as soon as possible.
So what about putting pressure on both the provincial and the federal governments for stricter laws?
Well, I strongly think Ward 3 should do a big change of the police officers. I think they should shift and put new police officers there, because it looks like they became afraid of the community, such as the gangs. They're taking over. The gangs are making deals with the officers and they're not doing nothing. And things like that happen all the time. So I think once I'm elected, I'm going to give you, I'm going to tell you everybody the truth. My word comes first, no matter what.
Absolutely.
No matter what, after 6 months, I'm locked in to my ward, and I always be, even after 6 months, I will be locked in my ward. But I will advocate for the rest of Toronto, because I'm part of Toronto. And I was raised and born in Toronto. And if Ward 3's happen to this, I will challenge that city council. I will make sure he's doing the right job. And like, things need to be, take action. You need to take action. You can't sleep on it.
I like that idea.
So if we want change, we need to take action. That's the bottom line. And well, I'm an independent, right? But I remember that Obama one time said, yes, we can. And I'm going to tell everybody, yes, we can. We can all be leaders together and make change.
Absolutely. Moving along, I wanted to talk about the transit, actually. Sorry, that's next. I wanted to talk about transit. So you Brees, you brushed on building a station to the zoo, which I think is a great idea. I got to tell you, before I drove, we took the subway. So you take the subway all the way to Kennedy, and then you got to go on that long bus ride. Such a pain in the butt. I would love to see the subway extended to the zoo. And then the question I usually ask candidates is, we've seen it expand into York region. Would you be in favor of expanding transit, whether it's subway or some other form, into the west, into Peel, into the east, into Durham, and anything else that you want to say about transit for the city of Toronto?
100%, like going to Port Union, we're like hitting Pickering there, right? So Pickering will love a subway after there. Like all you need to do is have an attachment, right? So from Port Union going to Pickering, well, the commute will be amazing. So all we need to do is act on it, and then I can tell you a secret how to get anything approved. Well, if the city councils don't agree extending it, so I could start a petition, a legit petition, and there's a number to the petition that I know it has changed, so I'm not going to shoot out a number right now, but there is a number, and if I get the popular number, I can present this to the mayor in front of council, and if they don't do anything about it, I can take them to civil court, and civil court will approve it. Bottom line, this has been done years ago, I think in the 60s. The council did not want to approve something. So this individual went to get his petition. He got the number of people. He presented it. They said no, brought it to civil court. Court approved it, and he got his project done.
That's good. I actually didn't know that, so
I'm
I'd
Sorry to cut you off. I'm going to get the subway done proper. They're drilling at the moment. Okay. So there's 2 more months for me to start my job. And I would do my job very good for the people.
That's awesome. I really do like the idea of extending the subway to the zoo. I don't know why. I don't know why nobody's thought of it or mentioned it. You're actually the first one of all the interviews I did that mentions extending the subway to the zoo. Because I mean, the zoo is it's a tourist attraction at the end of the day.
Yes, it is.
Let's talk about the unhoused and affordable housing. I'm sure you, like me, watched in horror as the mayor ordered the police into Trinity Bellwoods Park to disassemble the tents, kick everybody out, and throw out all their stuff. And really, what we watched was the mayor robbing the unhoused people that lived in that park of the only thing that they had left, which was their dignity. And I'm disgusted that that happened. I'm even more disgusted that he used police when he claims that I don't control the police. Well, I guess that's a lie. What more can we do to help the unhoused? Every time I go downtown, I can't afford to give every one of the money. I feel like more needs to be done, but what is that? What can we do? And also on the affordable housing contingent part, we've seen condos go up hugely in the last 10 years. There's supposed to be an affordable housing contingent to it, like 5 or 10%, whatever it is. Apparently, there's a legal loophole that allows the developers, if they list 5 or 10% of the units at or below market level, that counts as affordable housing. So I'd like to see, I don't know if you would like to see, but I would like to see that legal lo loophole closed to force actual affordable housing. And I'd love to get your thoughts on both those things.
I totally agree with you there. We see, we kick those people, the way they did it, kicking them off the lot just like that. They should have had a setup. Like, we have Delta Hotel. Then we have another hotel. I forgot the name of it.
Novotel?
Yeah, another hotel on Consumers World and on off Retoya Park in North York.
Okay.
People that cannot afford, right? So they made it to affordable housing in the hotel rooms. I think that's a great idea at this moment. But again, we're putting everybody together that's not working, and there's going to be crime. That loophole, yeah, you're right. We should do something about it as soon as possible. And there's a lot of work that we need to do together as soon as possible. Like, I'm going to say this again. It's like a broken record. I'm not going to be alone. The community is going to be standing strong with me, and we're going to make changes together. It's not just my head making changes. We need to advocate it, put it together. And of course, I will advocate the final project to everybody else, right? Because I'm sitting in city chamber on behalf of the people. Can't shoot out numbers right now to you and tell you promises. And all I can tell you is, yeah, I totally agree with you, and we need to do something about it ASAP.
I can hear your passion right through the microphone. I love it. I can't. I'm excited. Let's move along to let's see. We talked about crime. Let's talk about public health. I'm interested to know your opinion on how the city handled the pandemic at the municipal level, of course, whether or not you think the city learned anything from the pandemic, and in your opinion, are we ready for the next pandemic?
No. The city and provincial are helping. Let's talk about the businesses. The small businesses, a lot of them shut down, but yes, they helped box stores. The big box stores were open, functioning, selling their items, selling their foods, and the little stores were suffering. Yeah. I'll tell you a story. I am part-time. I work with Uber and Lyft. I'm a driver. And just 2 days ago, I had a customer in the car. We're driving. You see my Toronto pin in my car, because I put it in my car proudly. And when I go to chamber, I put it on me proudly because I stand for Toronto. He goes, do you work for Toronto? I go, no, I'm a candidate for Ward 22, Scarborough Agent Court. He goes, tell me stuff about you. I go, I quickly told him about me. I showed him my website, read my platform. He goes, mental health. Interesting. You know, you're the only candidate talking about it. I go, supposedly. And he goes, well, I struggled with mental health this moment, and I would like to vent with you because I was just about to close down my business and something magical happened. You know, the pandemic finished, but I almost shut down. My cousin shut down. I had to close down two of my stores, and I'm just suffering. So whatever he said is very confidentiality, because when people vent to me, it's like me being a life coach, a counselor. All right. So he vented to me, and things that he said struck me, that the government wasn't there for the middle class and the vulnerable people at all. They were just there for the big corporations, the big corporate stores. And we're not ready. I tell you, for the next pandemic, we're not ready. We need better leadership, and we'll be ready. The leadership that we have right now... Yeah, okay, John Tory, he knows how to talk. He doesn't know how to shake a hand. I can say that publicly. I shook his hand. He's very weak. John Tory, when he first ran, he promised 2 terms. Why is he running for a 3rd term? Why isn't he giving somebody else a chance? Oh, is it because he wasted 3 years during COVID? He thinks it's not fair, you know, so he needs to do another 4 years? No, you made a promise to the people that you would do 2 terms. And if you're listening to me, John Tory, you're not a man that takes ownership. Bottom line, you're a follower. I'm the candidate that will follow the people and speak the people's voice and bring everything forward. And we're talking about public health. It comes down to mental health all the time. We need to support mental health as soon as possible. That will make help people get into the next level of life.
I love it.
We're at different levels. Right now, there's a lot of people still stuck in the sinkhole because of COVID. And they're afraid. And I just want to send people a reminder. Public health told all of us COVID dies during this heat. Why is everybody still wearing a mask? If it dies out, people are suffering with allergies and you go to the hospital, we'll call it COVID, even though you're negative. I've seen doctors do that. I went to the hospital because I had a heart palpitation because I had an espresso. I had a double espresso. So I started getting hyper, right? So I went to the hospital and they told me, oh, you have COVID. I go, did it show positive or negative? He goes, it was negative, but we're going to mark it as COVID. I go, no, you're not. If it's negative, it's negative. So there's a lot of cases that were said they were positive, but they were really negative. It's just a big propaganda that the government, the upper government, is making so much money on the mask. Why is Justin Trudeau have a percentage on Pfizer? Why is he making money on Pfizer? I'm going to say that publicly. I'm not afraid. I'm here for the people, and I will stand up for the people. I'm not saying COVID is bullshit. All right, COVID is totally real. I've seen people that died on COVID. But the thing is, they're not doing it in the right way.
I understand what you're saying. I wanted to ask, because you're running in Scarborough, what's your opinion of the hospitals in Scarborough? And were you aware of the fact, because I've done interviews with candidates running in Pickering, that the city of Pickering has no hospital. So they either come to Scarborough to use the hospital or they have to go to Ajax. And I'm just wondering, so your opinion on the hospital and whether or not you were aware of the second thing I said.
Well, I was aware about Pickering. We will take in people. The Scarborough Network Hospital is a fantastic system. The doctors at Scarborough Network Hospital are high quality. They care about people. I know people from Hamilton that come to the Scarborough Network Hospital.
I didn't know that. Wow.
Yeah, there's all sorts of people that come to the Scarborough. So we'll take people in. If Pickering has issues in building a hospital, maybe we should talk to them and, you know, help them up. Not give them money because they're their own city, right? But I'm pretty sure if they need help in brainstorming, we could help them build a hospital. Like Woodbridge built their hospital by fundraising, mm-hmm. a lot of fundraising. So if we need to do a fundraising on behalf of Pickering, yeah, I'll be happy to do that, right? So that's how Woodbridge got their hospital. So I'm pretty sure we could build a hospital in Pickering. But at the moment, we'll take in people, no problem. We are all human. We need to help.
Absolutely. I love that. I want to thank you so much for doing this interview with me. It was very enlightening. And, you're going to be one of my last interviews. So I really appreciate that. I just want to say thank you. Also, I want to let you know, usually I'm in front of the TV for election night. Unfortunately, this year I'll be out of the country, but I'm still going to be watching and paying attention. And I wish you nothing but luck on your campaign trail. And, you know, I'm excited to see what happens next. I'm excited to see who's going to get in. And I'll be watching and rooting from the sideline.
Thank you very much. May I do a closing statement?
Of course. And also include your website so people know where to find you, how to contact you if they have any questions, comments, concerns, or anything like that.
Thank you very much. Thank you. This was my first podcast, and I appreciate for having me. And I am Anthony Chernikova, your candidate, your city council for Scarborough Agent Court. If you want our vision, our voice to be heard, you know your vote. Make a smart vote. My website is Toronto, the number 4, life.ca. So torontoforlife.ca. Why I picked that website? Because I love Toronto and I am for Toronto for Life. Also, I'm interested in volunteers as soon as possible. And donations will be amazing because donations will help me manifest to make me become your next leader. So on October 24th, know your vote and make smart vote. Thank you.
Thank you so much again for this interview. And like I said, I wish you nothing but luck.
Thanks. You have a greatest night.